Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill. Welcome back to our study in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 18 now. And Paul is still on the move. After his brief stay in Athens, Paul will continue to move forward, and here in chapter 18, we'll begin ministry in two key cities on opposite sides of the Aegean Sea, one in Europe and one back in Asia Minor. And both will become home to very prominent and important churches. And just like Philippi and Thessalonica in chapter 17, Paul will write powerful letters, important letters, to the churches in these cities. And in terms of the sheer volume of the content in his letters, no church will get as much literary attention as the first one that we'll meet here in Acts chapter 18, Corinth, the church in the city of Corinth. Verses 1 to 17 covers the 18 months Paul spent in Corinth on his first visit there. Look at how it started. Paul meets a couple who share the same occupation as him. They're all tent makers. They probably met in a local synagogue or maybe on the job. And I think it's very likely they met in a synagogue since they were also Jews. And they responded to Paul's ministry becoming followers of Jesus Christ if they hadn't already begun to follow him. Verse 4 says, Paul was also preaching to Jews as well as to Greeks as he always did. And the Holy Spirit was moving. People were getting saved. So, you know what comes next. The opposition began as well. There's a major turning point for Paul here. Verses 6 to 7 tells us that at that point, quote, Paul shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles," end quote. And then he walks out of the synagogue, and look how far he actually goes. He just walks right next door, into the home of a man named Justus, a man whom we learn believed in the Lord, which means that he was a Christian by this time. And at that point, there appears to be a local revival, and actually, Crispus, the ruler of that synagogue that Paul had just left, he comes to faith in Jesus along with his family, and many Corinthians as well, it tells us. It's happening, and in Corinth of all places, another bustling, wealthy, morally and spiritually polluted city of the ancient Roman Greek world. But nothing stops Jesus. Nothing stops this Jesus movement. When you travel with a message of forgiveness for guilty sinners, expect response and expect confrontation. Verses 9 to 10 are interesting. Apparently, Paul went to bed one night with a bit of fear in his heart. I've been there. I know what that's like. Maybe he was wondering when the hammer would fall in Corinth. When would the posse arrive to stir the masses up against him? So while he's sleeping, the Lord spoke to him, saying, "Don't be afraid. Do not be silent. I am with you. No one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." Well, that promise was very specific. And by the way, it had an expiration date. The Lord didn't tell Paul, "You will never get hurt again." He just told him, "It just won't happen here in Corinth." It was for that time. That promise was of that time and that place for that brother, Paul. I don't believe God ever wastes his words. And so Paul was actually simply afraid, allowing possibly the fear of physical pain to somehow affect him and maybe keep him awake at nights. Well, God's words that night must have fired Paul up and given him a fresh dose of courage and boldness. Paul and his co-workers stayed there in Corinth for 18 months, teaching the Word of God, watching an exciting work take shape. And then in verses 12 to 17, it tells us of an attempt of local Jewish opposers to start some trouble with the Roman representative, but it came to nothing. Gallio, that Roman leader or judge, refused to hear the case against Paul and just threw it out of court, and the apostle dodged another bullet by the grace of God. Finally, in verse 18, Paul hits the road, yet again heading back to his home church in Antioch in Syria, traveling with Priscilla and Aquila, his tent-making buddies. And he'll make a brief stop in Ephesus, teach in the synagogue, reasoning with the Jews from the Scriptures. But verse 20 tells us they begged Paul to stay. Now that's a switch. They begged him to stay, and yet Paul refuses. He's intent on being in Jerusalem for the next religious feast that's coming up there, and so he finally makes it home to Antioch after close to 2.5 years on the road. But he won't be home long, because in verse 23 it simply says, quote, "After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening the disciples." end quote. Now, that's a man with a true pastor's heart. Win them to Christ, raise them up in Christ, and strengthen them in Christ. And then, as you know what Paul did next, he sent them out for Christ. In verse 24 to 28, the chapter closes with the focus back on Ephesus, where Paul seems to have left Aquila and Priscilla behind to help with the work there. And while they were on hand, a powerful and eloquent preacher comes to town. His name is Apollos, who is passionate, but not yet fully aware of all that Jesus Christ has done. Verse 25 says, he knew only the baptism of John. And it's kind of hard to tell what that meant. Either it refers to the need to be baptized in Jesus' name, or to the fact that he really did not yet know all that Jesus Christ had accomplished. What he knew was accurate. It just wasn't complete. And so Aquila and his wife Priscilla bring him up to speed, and the word goes forth powerfully. In fact, Apollos is sent off to Greece, where he becomes one of the favorite preachers in Corinth. Verse 27 tells us Apollos was a great help to the churches in Greece, and that he was publicly facing up to the Jewish leaders, showing them from the Bible, their Bible, that Jesus was indeed the Christ that they had waited for and prayed for and longed for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, Paul acknowledges that Apollos was a key voice to that church. And so while Paul is out on the road again strengthening the churches, Aquila and Priscilla are strengthening preachers who are then sent out to strengthen even more churches. What I see very vividly in this chapter is that the work of the Lord requires stamina and maintenance, the need to keep going and keep encouraging believers who may be thinking about giving up or turning back to their old ways and their old beliefs. We need more laborers like these, like Paul and Silas and Timothy and Apollos, and husband and wife teams like Aquila and Priscilla. As you read chapter 18, see yourself in this chapter. Are you the believer who needs to be strengthened, or the leader who needs to pass on the encouragement? Or are you the lost or the opposer who needs to be won to Jesus Christ to stop your fight against God and give in to his love? If that's you, then come to Jesus now and let him forgive you. Let him save you. This message is for you. And then do all you can to move the work of Jesus Christ forward. God bless you. Go ahead, jump in and study this wonderful chapter.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at ThroughTheWord.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the Senior Pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.